9.
Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
While I was talking to the Lord, you know, riding, I always remember this. Some of you don't understand. The most important person in your life is the Holy Ghost. Don't you say that. I want to say it like this. The Holy Ghost is to you what Jesus was to the disciples. He's a paraclete. He walks alongside you. All right. So what Jesus was to the disciples, that's what the Holy Ghost is to you. He walks along you. He walks with you. And if you want to build a relationship with him, repetition matters. You got to have a time that you meet him every day. Every morning. Okay? And there's a way you begin with him, enter his presence with singing. That's always you. Anything other than that, you're breaking the protocol. The protocol. Some of you go straight into prayer and be, Father, I thank you. No, you don't do that. You just love on him. Amen. Take a minute, just love on him. But anyway, so I was singing, talking to him, and see, some of you miss it because you think that you have to spend this set time with him for 3 hours at a set time. You need to learn that. Just imagine Jesus. Just imagine Jesus. If he was with the disciples, and if the Holy Ghost is to me with Jesus to the disciples, can you imagine how often they question him? Can you imagine how often they talk to him and had relationship with him and commune with him? So that's what the Holy Ghost is supposed to be to you. He's that person you talk to all day, all night. I'm talking about everything, y'all. I mean, Holy Ghost, I love you this morning. I mean, how you doing? He's that invisible friend. You understand? And the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, son, the greatest seed that you will ever sow. I called Pastor Butler. He got happy. He almost ran off the road, whatever you're doing. The Lord said, the greatest seed that you can ever sow is thanks. Thanks is a seed. That's why the Bible tell you, give. You'll catch that when you get home. Anything you give is a what? Seed. So the greatest seed that you can ever give is thanks. Why? Because when I don't have nothing, I can always say thank you. That's why I will bless the Lord. I don't care how bad your situation is. It could be worse. Amen. So I want to thank you that I got a refrigerator. Y'all, come on. Come on. Thank you for air conditioner. Thank you for a roof over my head. Be seated. And you need to be thankful. I told y'all, you need to make an A to Z list. Yes. Starting with A. Thank you for my assignment. Yes. Thank you for my angelic protection. Thank you for the anointing. Right? B, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the Bible. C, thank you for the covenant. D, thank you for delivering me. Thank you. Am I making sense? Make a A to Z list of thanks. And watch how close the presence of Jesus. He hangs around the grateful. In everything, give thanks. I know you're in the worst season of your life. Give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. While you're in the fire, thank you. People coming against me, thank you. People trying to kill me, thank you. Amen. So that's something that the Lord shared with me. He was just dropping nuggets to me all day, and I love it when he started talking to me. And he also said to me, he said that all of us need to get serious in finding out what our assignment is. stop wasting time. He said, we need to get serious in finding out what our assignment is. Now, if you have an assignment, your assignment is always to a people or a person. Softly. Real soft. Your assignment is always to a people or person. If your name is Aaron, you're assigned to Moses. If your name is Ruth, you're assigned to Naomi. But if your name is Moses, you're assigned to the children of Israel. You're always assigned to a person or to a people. What is my assignment? What makes you different? What makes you significant? You have two eyes, so do 7 billion other people do. You got two ears, so do 7 billion other people. So you having two ears and two eyes cannot be your assignment. What has to be your assignment is what sets you apart. Whatever makes you significant is your assignment. Your assignment is the problem that you are supposed to solve. Y'all got that? So whatever you're supposed to solve, that's your assignment. So how do I figure out my assignment? You ask questions to yourself. Whose pain matters to me? When they hurt, who when they hurt, it hurts me? Who do I want to watch over? Who do I want to protect? Whose information matters to me? When you're assigned to somebody, their enemies become your enemies. When you're assigned to somebody, their friends become your friends. When you're assigned to somebody, guess what? Their needs become sensitive to you. And some of you missing it because you say, well, I'm not in my assignment. Well, let me show you, let me help you with this. Joseph knew that his assignment was the palace, even though he was in prison. But he was not walking around in prison saying, I ain't in my assignment. He was in prison, excelling in prison. Oh, that's good. He was preparing in prison. And he prepared so well in prison that they made him the leader of the prison. What am I saying to you? If you're not in your assignment, you ought to be training for it. Everybody wants a ministry, but nobody wants to prepare. It took Jesus 30 years of preparation to prepare for 3 years. Y'all missed that. I said it took Jesus 30 years to prepare for 3 years. So if you're not where you're supposed to be, or if you're not in your assignment, you got to learn how to excel where you are. Don't bicker. Don't complain. I ain't in this place. No. God, you got me here for a reason. Now show me how to become the best in my low place. Because until I perfect the prison, I don't get the palace. That's good teaching. Say amen, church. So we thank God for Jesus. Come on, let's go to the word. Let's finish what we was on. Of course, we're dealing with the power of humility. And God is showing us. Thank you, brother. God is showing us that we got a long way to go. Say amen. Lay hands on yourself. Say, I got a long way to go. Anybody be honest and say, you got a long way to go? Amen. I know that's right. I have a long, 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 long way to go. Colossians chapter 3. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. I am so fascinated with the word of God. I mean, the word of God just, my God, it just makes my day. I just love the word and CNN. Say amen. I just, amen. All day. That's what my TV's on. CNN. And I watch and look at the word. Praise God. You know, I'm learning. And always remember this. I'm going to show you something in a minute. It just really deals with the spirit of pride. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members Watch this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Some of you may never worship an idol, but you do worship the almighty dollar. Yeah, that's covetousness. Some of you may never worship an idol, but you do worship yourself. And I'm telling you that there's more to life than things. Some of you work hard, you work triple time, double time, overtime, but don't give God no time. And man, you do all of this working and all of these things, and all of you doing this for us to make sure you have this and to have money and to have all of these things. And I'm telling you that I want you to hear me by the Spirit of grace, that when you get to a place where you begin to put your job before God, you're getting in pride. Because see, the only reason you are more concerned about your job than you are God, the only reason you can work that job and be faithful and give that job 8 hours, 6 hours, do whatever that job tells you to do, the only reason you are working that job and so faithful and committed to it is because you got bills that you have to pay every month. And because you know you have to pay those bills, I better go in here, I better clock in. Half the time you don't want to get up, tell the truth, half the time you don't want to go to work, but the only reason you're doing it, praise God, is because there's money that you have to make. And what I'm trying to say to you is, if you don't be careful, you will make that an idol, because you are spending more time making sure you have the almighty dollar, concerned about your satisfaction, concerned about your comforts, concerned about feeling good, which is blowing yourself up, and you're forgetting the God who gave you the strength to do everything you're doing. Now that's not a word to make you shout. Because some of us in here, we serve our jobs better than we serve our God. You are committed to that job. You are faithful to that job. You plan for that job. You do everything you have to do. Look at what you do. You have family vacations. You have all these schedules. And everything you do, you plan it around your work schedule. I can't do this because I got to work on this day. I can't do this because I got to work on this day. But you never say you can't do this because you got to get in prayer. Am I helping somebody? So we got to a place where we are more concerned about our comforts and more concerned about how we feel. And I'm telling you that a lot of us are doing a lot of working. We're overworking. We're working and pushing and hustling. And I told you, ain't no hustle in holiness, all right? We're doing a lot of hustling. We're doing a lot of working. You're working all these jobs. You're trying to get all this money because you're trying to be noticed and trying to get a promotion. And God already told you in Psalm 75:6, men don't get promotion. Come on, church. Come on. Amen. Promotion doesn't come from the south, the west, or the east, but God is the judge. So you want to make sure whatever these jobs are, again, I'm not against working. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying by the Spirit. But I'm telling you that if you got a job and your job is taking the place of God, you're not able to fast. You're not able to pray. You're not getting in your word. You're just seeking that job and working and working and working and working and have no time for God. I'm telling you that you are more concerned about your peace and your tranquility to your natural man than you are concerned about feeding your inner man. Quiet, church. Working that job, but don't pray. Lord told me now, y'all, I pray a good 3 hours a day. I pray at least a good 3 hours a day. I give to the Lord, and the Lord told me today, I'm riding in the car, loving on Jesus. He said, you ain't spending enough time with me. I said, Lord, have mercy. Amen. I spend time in work. I spend hours in the word every day. But see, I'm going to say this. See, I'm not telling you this to judge yourself by me. And the reason is because of who much is given. And I don't want you to say, ooh, well, if he's spending 3 hours in prayer and the Lord say that ain't enough for him, it must not be enough for me. See, your prayer life is your prayer life and your study of the word is adjusted to the level of the grace of your assignment. So some of you read books on Catherine Coleman or Smith Wigglesworth, and you try to be like them, but you don't have the assignment. right? So you got to make sure that you don't begin to compare yourself, amen, and make sure you don't get to a place where you start measuring yourself. Because the Lord told me this years ago. He said, son, you got to be careful that you don't make people feel bad about not praying like you, because then your prayer life will become an idol to you. You make an idol out of your prayer life. Am I making sense? All right. So all of these things matter. And I'm telling you that if you're not able to get in no prayer and you're not able to get in your word, I'm telling you, you done got to a place, you done got distracted. And I'm telling you that if you put God first, he will promote you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the what? And his what? Everything else will be what? Come on, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that this word is really getting deep in your hearts. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26. Look at what the word of God says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26. Look at what the word of God says. It says 22:26. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people you will save. But your eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. God said, I'll look out for everybody but the proud man. He said, I'll help the merciful, I'll help the pure, I even help the afflicted. He said, but the person that's haughty, the only reason I'm looking at you is because I'm getting ready to bring you down. That's powerful. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. And I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear it by the Spirit of grace. Of course, you can read it in the King James Version if you have to. But look at what the Amplified Version says of Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm going to say this. The Holiness Church years ago, used this scripture to preach against everything, that you couldn't wear nothing. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and with undisciplined, flirtatious, and alluring eyes, tripping along with mincing and affected gait, making a tinkling noise with anklets. That's the scripture they used to use to tell you couldn't wear no anklets. All right. Anklets. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, and he's going to make them bald. And the Lord will cause them to be taken as captives and to suffer the indignity of being stripped naked. And that day, the Lord will take away the finery of their tinkling anklets, the cap of network, the crescent head ornaments, the pendants, the bracelets, the chains, the spangled face veils and scarves, the headbands, the short ankle chains attached from one foot to the other to ensure a measured gait, the sashes, the perfume boxes, the amulets, the charm suspended from the ears or neck, the signet rings and the nose rings, the festal robes, the cloaks, the stoles and the shawls, and your Louis Vuitton purse, the hand mirrors, the fine linen undergarments, the turbans, and the whole body enveloping veils. Now, I want to say this to you. I want you to hear me. This is the scripture that the saints used to use to tell you, can't wear no headbands, can't wear no, because God was going to take it from you. And I'm telling you that it's not the headband, it's not the jewelry, it's not the anklet, it's not the makeup, but if that has produced a spirit of pride, you got to let it go. Now, I want to say this to you. What if I told you that God is putting this church on a 30-day fast and nobody can wear makeup? No makeup for 30 days. No earrings for 30 days. No lipstick, nothing. Some of you, the devil is a liar. Now, if that's your attitude, hear me now. If that's your attitude, makeup is an idol. That's good. You can't go without that. If you're concerned about how you look, they can't see how I really look. Amen to God. Amen. Man, when you came up at home, they took everything from you. They took everything. They took the eyelashes, nails, none of that. Say amen.
Amen.
So it's not the clothes. It's not the earrings. And I want you to hear me. It's not the pants. It's not none of that. Right. But if when you get dressed, you are thinking about how you look and how you gonna look when you, if you're concerned about impressing when you get dressed, God gonna take it from you. And some of you in here, you need a stripping, because your walk is haughty. You can have a walk. Do you know when you get saved, you need to ask God to sanctify your walk?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can have a walk that came on you from the world. That when you walk by, everything moving when you walk. Ask God to calm that walk down. Some of y'all walk, everything moving. Amen. Lord, sanctify my walk. I don't want folk to see me. Let them see you. Amen, church. Now, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that. That it was nothing wrong with the makeup. It was nothing wrong with the hair. None of that was wrong. But you need to sit down and ask yourself, why am I wearing this? Is it for me? Am I stroking myself? Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I'm going to see how many folks show up in here with no makeup on. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Some of y'all saying, Lord, please don't do that to me, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's something that the Lord did tell me to tell us to do for this shut-in. And he's never told me to do this before, but God commanded me to do this. This is something we used to do in the Holiness Church. Apostolic Church is still do it. But God told me to tell the women, just for this shut-in, I don't know why. But he said for this shut-in, he wanted us to put on a head covering. Now the Lord told me that he wants us to wear a head covering. Now let me show you something. I ain't planning on going here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. That's what God told me, y'all. And trust me, I wasn't even raising that. So don't think, oh, pastor trying to put something on us. No, I wasn't even raising that. Remember, y'all. Remember, I got saved under a woman pastor. So my woman pastor wasn't into none of that. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Verse 2. Now I prayed you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is what? The head of every man is who?
Christ.
The head of the woman is the what?
Man.
The head of Christ is who?
God.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered. That's why men don't pray with hats on their head. The Bible says when you do it, you dishonor your head. Look at verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head, what? Dishonoreth what? Her head. For that is even all as if she didn't have no hair. Okay. And if I had I'm going to show you why you wear it. Go to verse 6. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Watch this. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the... Now, if I don't really... get into this sometime. Like, I don't be want y'all to think about it. But I'm telling you, women, hair means something in the spirit realm. There's a reason that she washed his feet with her hair. Because your hair is your glory. Am I making sense? Okay. And there's a head covering that when you wear that head covering, there's a certain notification. That's the word I want to use, but it's the wrong word. You are recognized by angelic presences when you wear a head covering. Now, you know, wearing head coverings is nothing new. Everybody in the Middle East, all of the women, what they do? Cover their heads. Guess what Muslims do? Cover their head, because their religion is deeply rooted in the Middle East. So I'm saying this to you. Ain't going to hell if you don't do it. I don't want y'all to pass it over. I'm going to hell if I don't wear hair. That ain't what I'm saying. But I'm telling you that the Spirit of God did say to me, for this shut in and for what he's about to do in KCC. And see, I believe all of these are tests of obedience. I don't believe it's a heaven or hell thing. I think God is just testing to see, if I tell you to do something, will you do it? God told me one time I couldn't eat no more pork and all that stuff, and I did that for years. And I said, Lord, why? You know, and my great grandma eat everything known to man, and she was healthy. And the Lord said, I didn't do this to keep you healthy. I did it to test your obedience. So there are some things that God will have you to do that has nothing to do. It's not a heaven or hell issue. He's testing your obedience. Say amen.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., meeting at Progressive Baptist Church, 1600 Clanton Road in Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433 or 1-855-984-2276, or visit us at kccharlotte.org or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.